My name's Calvin, I'm an addict. Before I get started, I'd like to thank my dear friend Vinny and the Aria for asking me to come down here and share. This is truly an honor for me. Whenever I share, I always start my meetings off the same way. And that is to say that I am happy, happy, happy. I'm so happy, I can't stand my own self half the time. March the 20th for this year, I just celebrated 27 years clean. Saying it works. But then they gave me the topic of surviving my emotions. And I'm here to tell y'all sometimes that 27 years don't mean jack. Nothing. But what I love about this program is I don't care what I'm going through, the steps is the way up and out of it. Now, way back when, because they call us dinosaurs now, way back when we used to break the steps down like this. We used to say step 1, 2, and 3 is giving up. 4, 5, and 6 is cleaning up. 7, 8, and 9 is making up. And 10, 11, 12 is keeping up. If you do this, you just might mess around and grow up. So, and dealing with this topic, and I ain't going to have time to, you know, refer back to it. I'm letting y'all know right now, I'm in 6 and 7 on this topic of surviving my emotions. I don't know about y'all, but when things going real, real good, I'm spiritual as hell. I swear to be. They used to call me spiritual Calvin, this is a joke, okay? Okay. But one time, they was calling me spiritual Calvin, and the guy said, "You're so spiritual, you think you Jesus. You think you can walk on water." I said, "I can." He said, "No, you can't." I said, "Yes, I can." He said, "Prove it." I said, "Give me a glass of water." He gave me a glass of water. I poured it on the ground and walked on it. You know? I'm just saying, I had 14 years clean. I was in the best state in recovery ever. I owned my own business. I was working a full-time job. I was bringing home $162,000 a year. I raised both my kids by myself. I was driving a black Corvette convertible. Life don't get no better than that. Every year for the last 7 years, I was taking my kids on a camping trip every year. And it was a wonderful family event. We had a ball. And this year, on Saturday night was my night to deal with the teenagers. And when you deal with the teenagers, you got to make sure by 10 o'clock, all of them are in their tents. At 11 o'clock, lights out, quiet time, everybody go to sleep. So I did that. I made sure all the boys was in their tent, all the girls was in their tent, everybody was sleeping, everything was good. It was great. About 3:30 in the morning, a scream pierced the night. I mean, it was a loud screeching sound. It woke up everybody in the campsite. And immediately all the parents went and checked all the tents of the kids and everything. And I checked all mine, and everybody was all right. Well, it came to find out that this little kid had a nightmare, and he woke up screaming. So everybody was calmed down. We all went back to sleep. Everything was good. That was Saturday. Sunday, we wrapped everything up. We went home. So Monday rolled around, and my daughter came up to me and said, "Daddy, I need to talk to you." I said, "All right, boo, what's up?" She said, "But you can't get mad at me." I said, "Baby, you my girl. I'll never get mad at you. Just tell me what's going on." She said, "Well, you know when we went camping Saturday?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, Saturday, I got raped." And I said, "Huh?" She said, I got raped. And she told me about who. And I'm like, "Wait a minute. Saturday was my night. That's the night I checked on y'all. Everything was all right. The boy woke up screaming." And she said, "What happened after that?" I said, "Oh my God." Now, I ain't called my sponsor. I ain't start praying. I ain't do none of that. My emotions went from zero to whatever like that. I called the dude that invited the dude and his family that raped my daughter. And I told him what happened. He said, "Oh, well, I'll call and I'll handle it." And I said, "Oh, hell no. This is my best friend." I literally threatened his life. I called them, look, you gonna give me the number, the address, I'm going up,
and he gave that shit up.
and then after that, I called Pookie. Ain't no need to call nobody. I called Pookie. See, Pookie's still out there. Okay? I say, Pookie, I say, I need a gun. He said, what you need a gun for? I said, somebody raped my daughter, I'm gonna kill him. So he said, look, Ray, he said, dude, you doing good, you got your business, you got your job, you doing wonderful. He said, let me kill the motherfucker. he said, I don't want you to get him, let me kill him. And I say, no, man, that's my daughter, man. That's my daughter. So he did. He got me the gun and everything. And then I had a moment of clarity. I did. I said, I got the number. I had the address. I said, let me call the father up. So I called up and the mother answered the phone. And I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to dad. So dad got on the phone. And I said, look, man, Saturday night, this is what went down. And then your son, he raped my daughter. And he got defensive. What you mean, my son? I don't know my son. And then the last thing I remember is he said, I'm a 50-degree black belt and I belong to a dojo. And if you start some shit, I'm going to have to do what I got to do. I said, oh, it's on, motherfucker. That's it. That's it. Party gone out the window. I'm going. Now, I gotta shoot the father first. Gotta shoot him first. Father got to go first. Then I gotta shoot the mother because she gave birth to him. He gotta watch. That's his punishment. Then I'm gonna kill his ass. I mean, just crazy. Just gone. And I get in my vet, I'm doing 1,000 miles an hour on the highway, and now my sponsor done found out what had happened and everything. And it was back in the days we had pages. And he kept paging me. And I said, man, he can really mess everything up. I said, let me call him up and lie to him. You know, tell him everything, all right, I'm cool. Just so he'll stop worrying about me. So I pulled over, and they still had payphones back then. I pulled over, went to the payphone, and I called my sponsor. I don't know what it is about sponsors. They just seem to know. I don't get it. I mean, because when he answered the phone, I mean, he ain't say hi, hello, how you doing, or nothing. When he answered the phone, he said, look, man, I know how you feel. If it was me, I know what I'd be thinking about doing round about right now. He said, I just want you to ask yourself one question. I said, what? He said, if you do what you want to do, who going to raise your daughter then? I got 14 years clean. I don't work the steps. That thought never crossed my mind. I swear to God, it never crossed my mind. It didn't. But it made sense when he said it. And I felt... And I just bust out crying. And I said, what am I going to kill a motherfucker? What am I going to do? And he said, you ever think about calling the police? Really? I'm like, with 14 years clean, the thought never crossed my mind. Really? So, from that point to this point of the story, that was all me. Emotions gone, feeling it, that's my baby, I'm going to kill all of them. That's just where I was at. So, it happened in Pennsylvania. So, I called the state's attorney, made an appointment, went up there. I never forget it. Sent up there with my daughter. And the first thing the state's attorney said to her was, do you want to tell me what happened with your father here? Or would you like them to leave the room? And she said, I want my daddy to stay. And that little girl at 12 years old sat there and told the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
I could not. I was like, how in the hell she get that honest that early at that young age? I was messed up.
And y'all know I'm crying and everything now. At this all over and everything. So he said, I done heard enough. He said, send her straight to the hospital to get a kit done. And they did the kit. And when they did the kit came back. We went back up there. They said, from the results of the kit, we have probable cause to continue with a rape case. And he looked at my daughter, and he said, young lady, I want you to know one thing. He said, in the state of Pennsylvania, a 12-year-old child cannot have consensual sex. You did nothing wrong. The little boy was 17 and a half years old. So he gonna get tried as an adult. Now, I had just found out his ass was damn near 18 then. Had I known that little bastard was 18 years old, I would have never made it to the police station. I'm telling y'all the truth. I wouldn't have gave, I'd have been done. I'd have been done. But then after the state's attorney said what he said, and it was like the case is a lot, my first thought was, I got his ass now. That motherfucker going away. He gone. He going away. That's it. That's it. So looked at the state's attorney, looked at my daughter, I said, all right, we get ready to go. I got him. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Justice is going to be done. The state's attorney said, wait a minute, Mr. McKesson. Can I give you a suggestion? I said, what? I said, you just told me. He said, don't you think you should take your daughter to therapy? Because she's been through a traumatic experience here, and, you know, she might need some help. So I said, all right, I'll do that. And I had a therapist and everything. So we go to the therapist, and the therapist talked to her, and they get all deep and ask me to leave, and I guess they got a little deeper and everything, and everything was fine. So I come back in there at the end of therapy. I'm ready to go home. I said, all right, let's go. Therapist say, nah, Ms. McKesson, I think me and you need to talk. I said, me? I ain't get raped. What are you talking about me for? She said, well, you seem like you got a little bit of anger and hostility in you. So I think we need to talk. So, I got to talking with this therapist, and I mean, she categorically just broke my ass down. I'm telling you, I told her everything I told y'all, and she looked at me and said, oh, you just mad at every goddamn body. I said, no, I ain't. She said, yeah, you are. She said, you mad at the father because he ain't respond the way you thought he'd respond because you found out he loved his son just as much as you loved your daughter. You mad at the mother because she gave birth to his little ass. Ain't that what you said? You don't want to admit it, but you're mad at your daughter because you think that she shouldn't have put herself in that situation in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then last but least, you're mad at your goddamn self because you think you should have been there to protect her. Then she said, let me tell you something. And if you don't remember nothing else, remember this. She said, if you never ever, never ever, never ever place an expectation on anybody other than yourself, you can never ever, never ever, never be disappointed in anybody other than yourself. I say, God damn. I said, how you do that? I said, that's a little deep. But that wasn't enough for me. I had to keep going. But he almost 18 years old and she was only 12 and he didn't know and da-da-da-da-da. She said, Calvin. She said, I'm going to give you an assignment. I said, what's that? She said, when you go home, I want you to look the word up compassion. So you want you to write the definition down. And when you come back, I want you to apply it to the situation. So I went home and I looked the word up compassion. The definition of that word changed my life. Webster's definition of compassion is to recognize another's person's pain with the sole intent of removing it. Huh? I went back to her. I said, I know. I need compassion. I'm in pain. They need to. She said, you missed the whole damn thing. She said, you missed the whole thing. Hey, what's the cause of disease? Total self-centeredness. I ain't got there yet. She said, let me help you out a little bit. She said, what's your definition of humility? I said, I got that. Because y'all gave me the definition. I give it some innate shit now and I got them. I say humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. She said, no. No. I said, well, what's your definition of humility? She said, humility is power under control. I say, ooh. She say, when you're dealing with true humility, when you're dealing with any event, it don't just benefit you. It benefits everybody. Everybody. And she said, you need to look at this whole situation of what your daughter went through in its totality, and you need to make a decision. And I went home, and I listened to everything that my daughter had said, and I listened to everything that she had taught me, and I took the focus off of myself, and I really understood that I wasn't the only one that was hurting in this situation. Wow. And I understood that that little bastard, I could end his life now. That was my power. That was my power. And the compassion that she was talking about was the pain that his parents was in with the fear that they're getting ready to lose their child. But in the back of my mind, I still see that little bastard raped my daughter. That's in the back of my mind. So I go to the police station, and the police officer say, what you gonna do? I said, I'm going to drop all the charges. He said, do you know why you're going to drop all the charges? I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because it wasn't rape. He said, exactly. Now, what actually happened, listen to me, y'all, is my daughter's story. It's for her to tell, not me. So I'm not going to stand here and tell y'all her story. But I will tell y'all that he stopped before he penetrated her. Okay, that's the important part of this whole story. He stopped. So I dropped the charges. He said, thank you. And I was riding home. And when I was riding home, I felt no relief from doing the right thing. Ain't no spiritual glow come over me. None of that shit. I felt like I let that little bastard get away. It was still gnawing at me. I wanted my daughter to know that I would do the right thing, so I felt like I let her down. And I was going through all these array of emotions and feelings. And y'all, when God do what God do, can't nobody do it like God do it. Y'all, I walked through the front door, and a telephone rang. Guess who it was? It was his father. His father. I walked through the front door, and a telephone rang. I picked up the phone, and he said, Mr. McKesson, he said, if I was in your situation, I don't know if I could have done what you just did for my son. He said, thank you. And I bust out crying. I got it. See, the therapist taught me about compassion. The therapist taught me about expectations. The therapist taught me about humility. But there was a lesson in order to survive this emotional state that she knew I had to learn on my own. And that lesson is this. When I forgive someone, I set a prisoner free. Only to discover
that prisoner was me. And I let that thing go. And I was free. I mean, I can't tell y'all, I haven't experienced a greater spiritual awakening since I've been here. I'm telling y'all. And what I found out is that, and this, I'm talking about me, in this program, I don't have no excuses for my behavior. If I go to the left, it's because I damn near chose to go to the left. That's it. That's it. I got the tools to stay centered if I just use them. I just use them. And I'm telling y'all, I'm closing it up now. And I'm telling y'all, when I go through stuff now, I ain't got to go through 0 to 60 no more. Because what I understand for me, the key to this program is acceptance. Anything you can accept, you can conquer. If you can't conquer it, if you can accept it, then it don't have to conquer you. True acceptance is found in that serenity prayer we say around here. Not just the short part, the whole thing. The whole serenity prayer say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time. Enjoying each moment at a time. Accepting hardships as a pathway to peace. Taking this simple world as it is and not as I would have it. Trusting that if I surrender to His will, He'll make everything all right. So that I may be reasonably happy in this lifetime and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Thanks for allowing me to share, y'all.